Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus says in Matthew 5:17 through 18, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by any means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." The two main principles which our Lord sets forth in these verses are, first, that God's law is absolute and eternal. It can never be changed or even modified. One jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. The demands of the law of God are permanent. They can never be abrogated or destroyed. They can never be reduced or diminished until heaven and earth pass away. And second, in light of that, Jesus makes another statement that He did not come to destroy the teaching of the law or the prophets. Rather, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth to fulfill or to carry out the law and the prophets. Jesus came to perfectly obey the Old Testament scriptures. All of the law and all of the prophets point to Jesus Christ and will be fulfilled in Him down to the smallest detail. Brothers and sisters, that is one of the most amazing claims in all of Scripture. And it is one that I want to consider in greater detail with you this morning. First of all, how does Jesus Christ fulfill or carry out what the prophets wrote in the Old Testament? The Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21, that when God spoke from heaven to Peter, James, and John, who were gathered with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, when God spoke the words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," God confirmed the words of the prophets in the Old Testament scriptures. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, "For the promises, all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen to the glory of God through us." Read the Old Testament prophets and see how Jesus Christ fulfills God's word and promise which He spoke. That is a great consolation. That is a strong pillar or a buttress of our faith. This morning we do not have the time to read all the prophets in the Old Testament and see how Jesus Christ fulfills each one. So I must leave you to work out the details for yourself. Read the exact prophecies of Christ's birth, even the place in which He would be born. Jesus Christ fulfilled all these exactly. Read all that the Scripture says about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. How could the Jews in Jesus' day miss it? How could they stumble at Jesus? It was their own ideas that filled their minds and their hearts and led them astray to miss God's Messiah. The Jews should not have looked for the Messiah to be a worldly king or a political hero because the prophets had told them the opposite. The Jews read the prophets, but their prejudice blinded their minds. Instead of looking at the words of Scripture Instead of looking at the facts, they looked at their own superimposed ideas. How often does that happen to us? We think we have it right. We think we have the facts. We think we have the truth. But what we really have is not the truth. It's our own ideas that we have superimposed on the situation or on the Scripture. That is a constant danger that should make us humble and should make us willing to listen to others rather than inflexibly imposing our conclusions on others. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3 is another prophetic passage that accurately describes the Lord Jesus Christ in these words: "A bruised reed He will not break, and smoking flax He will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth." Isaiah chapter 53 is a wonderful and detailed description of the person and life and suffering of the Savior, Jesus Christ. He suffered for sinners. The prophets foretold Jesus' miracles and His teaching. The prophets proclaimed the gospel of Christ. And that is why it is such an easy and a wonderful thing to preach the gospel out of the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament is full of the gospel of God's grace to sinners in Jesus Christ. Psalm 22 is a prophetic description of Jesus' death on the cross. Notice the detail. David literally and accurately describes what happened to Jesus on the cross at Calvary. For example, verse 1, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning?" Verses 6 through 8, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, 'He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him.'" Verses 12 through 14, "Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths. Like a raging and roaring lion, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." I do not have time this morning to go over how Jesus Christ fulfills each verse of this psalm. But you can read through it and you can learn how Jesus Christ fulfilled each verse of this psalm by being that scapegoat, that Lamb of God, that high priest for us who was devoured by the wrath of God that we might be saved from our sin. The whole psalm is about our Savior and our Lord, Jesus Christ. The Old Testament prophets foretold the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And Jesus fulfilled that by rising from the grave on the third day. He rose on the first day of the week, which is why the Lord's Day has been changed from the last day of the week to the first day of the week. The Old Testament prophets foretold that in Jesus Christ, the nations or the Gentiles would become part of the church or the covenant people of God. Christ is fulfilling that. He's gathering you and me and millions of other Gentiles from every nation of the earth to be His holy people, His church. Do not doubt the Word of God concerning your salvation, but believe. Know for certain that Jesus Christ fulfills the prophets. He really does save you from your sins. He truly has endured the wrath and punishment of God that we deserved for sin. His promise is true. His word is sure. It is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. The prophets foretold the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the church on the day of Pentecost. Christ fulfilled that promise. In His person, in His works, in His life, in His obedience, in His suffering, in His death, in His resurrection, in His ascension to heaven, in His ruling over the world, in gathering His church, Christ is fulfilling the law and the prophets. The Old and New Testaments form one indissoluble book bound together in Him. We need all 66 books of the Bible. Second point I want you to see this morning is how Jesus Christ fulfills the law. And this also is wonderful to behold. It should lead us to worship and adore Jesus Christ all the more. Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." What does Paul mean when he says that Jesus Christ was born under the law? It is one of the essential truths of the incarnation of Jesus Christ that the Son of God was made under the law, or born under the law. The eternal Son of God is God Himself. And although from eternity He is above the law, for He is the lawgiver and the creator of all things, the Son of God took to Himself a true human nature, and He came in the likeness of men. He was born of Mary as a human being who had to keep God's law. Jesus Christ, the Creator, had to keep God's law. Jesus Christ identified Himself with sinners who are under the curse of the law. Jesus Christ was bound by the covenant of life which God made with Adam. And if Jesus had broken God's law even once, the curse of God's law would have fallen upon Him. There is no time when God shows more clearly, more forcefully, more powerfully the inviolable and absolute character of His own holy law than when He placed His own Son under it. Read the Gospels, and you will see again and again how careful Jesus Christ was to observe every part of God's law. He obeyed it down to the minutest detail. Not only that, but Jesus Christ also taught others to love God and to delight in the law of God. Jesus explained the law of God to people. He taught people to love the law of God. He taught people to delight in it. He constantly confirmed it. He asserted the absolute necessity of obeying it. And that is why Jesus Christ could say at the end of His life that no one can find any wrong in Me. No one can bring any charge against Jesus Christ. No one can arraign Him before the law of God. Because Jesus lived it fully. Jesus obeyed it perfectly. Jesus never violated even the smallest yote or the tiniest tittle of God's law. Jesus was in all points subject to the law of God, yet without sin. And again, we come to the cross on Calvary's Hill. That is the focal point of our Christian faith. We proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why did Jesus die on the cross at Golgotha? Why did Jesus Christ hang on that tree? If we are not clear in our understanding of God's law, we shall never understand the meaning of the cross. Evangelism is not merely talking about the cross of Jesus Christ. No, evangelism is proclaiming the true doctrine of the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ is not a tragedy. It is not a sentimental event in history. It is not a great example for mankind. It is not just an heroic effort that should melt our hearts. The purpose of the cross of Christ is not to arouse pity in us for Jesus. It is not a general display of the love of God. Far from it. The cross of Jesus Christ fulfills God's law. When our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross at Calvary, the eternal Son of God was enduring in His own body on the tree the penalty that the law of God requires for our sins. God condemns sinners to death. The law of God declares that all who have sinned against God, all who have broken God's holy law in any way, must die spiritually forever and ever and ever. Jesus Christ did not come to destroy that. Do not think that I came to destroy the law, Jesus said. I did not come to destroy God's law, but to fulfill it. God's law must be fulfilled by the punishment for sin being carried out upon those who have sinned. That is why Jesus died. The punishment for sin is death. God's forgiveness does not negate the just penalty for sin, which the law of God demands. No, God must carry out the penalty for sin that He requires. God's law must be fulfilled. God carried out the penalty of death in Jesus' death on the cross in the place of sinners. Jesus was our substitute. Jesus died in our place. Jesus bore the wrath of God. He bore God's penalty for sin in our place. God the Father forgives our sins because Jesus Christ bore the punishment due to us. Christ fulfilled God's law by bearing the punishment for sin. God punished sin in the holy, spotless, blameless person of His own Son as Jesus Christ hung on the cross at Golgotha. Christ fulfills the law on the cross. That is the biblical view of Christ's death on the cross. In an extraordinary and wonderful way, Jesus fulfilled all the types and shadows of the Old Testament that pointed to Him. Read the book of Exodus. Read the book of Leviticus. Read the book of Numbers. Read about the whole burnt offerings, the sin offerings, the trespass offerings, the peace offerings, the grain offerings. Read about the tabernacle with all of its furnishings, with all of the symbolism in it. Read about all of the temple ceremonies. Read about the priests. Read about their garments. Read about the altars. Read about the laver. Read about all the details of the Old Testament worship of God. And ask yourself as you read, what do all these things mean? What is the showbread for? Why does the high priest have to meet all of these requirements and do all of these things precisely this way? All these details are shadows and types and prophecies of what Jesus Christ has done in His life, in His suffering, and in His death. They're shadows of what Jesus does to redeem sinners, to redeem us from our sins. Jesus Christ literally fulfills, He carries out, He brings to pass every single one of those types, ceremonies, and details. Jesus Christ is our high priest. He's a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, just as the Old Testament says He would be. Jesus Christ is our sacrifice. He makes atonement for our sins. He's the Lamb sent out into the wilderness to face the roaring and raging wild beasts. Jesus Christ is our mediator. Jesus Christ is God with us. He shed His blood to pay for our sins. He endured the raging wrath of God, which in the Old Testament was represented by the raging of dogs and lions at the Lamb that the priest had taken out into the wilderness on the Day of Atonement, where savage beasts would tear it to shreds. Jesus Christ presents His life's blood to His Father in heaven as His fulfillment of the law. Jesus Christ presents His perfect obedience to His Father in heaven as the fulfillment of God's law. Jesus Christ also fulfills God's law in us and through us by means of His Holy Spirit. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." One reason why Jesus Christ died was to deliver us from the law of sin and death and to enable us by the grace of God and by the Spirit of God to fulfill the law as Jesus Christ did. Notice that the Apostle Paul links these two things together. The way in which Jesus Christ fulfilled the law Himself and the way in which Christ fulfills the law in us. Christ perfectly and completely fulfilled the righteousness of the law in our place. That is our righteousness. That is our salvation. But now, as saved people, we must do what Christ has done. Christ fulfills the law in us. Christ enables us to fulfill the righteousness of God's law too. And He does this in us by giving us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us a love of the law of God and a love of true righteousness and holiness. And the Holy Spirit enables us by the power of Almighty God to live by the law of God. Paul says in Romans chapter 8 that those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit of God set their minds on the Holy Spirit. The carnal mind is enmity or hatred against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, Paul says in Romans 8. Nor indeed can be. It's not able to be subject to the law of God. But, Paul says, if God has put His Holy Spirit in you, then you are not like that anymore. You love God. You are subject to God's law. You love righteousness. You hate every evil way. And God gives you the ability to keep His commandments. Not perfectly, but truly. God writes His laws in our hearts and in our minds, and we long to fulfill it. And He enables us to fulfill it. The law of God guides us in loving our Lord. It guides us in loving one another, in loving our neighbor as ourselves. It guides us in righteousness and holiness. It teaches us what sin is. And with the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, the law of God turns us from sin unto God. The law of God condemns all those who do not repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the law of God also will be fully carried out when God brings His just punishment upon every person who does not believe and trust in the perfect righteousness and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Those who trust in their own righteousness will be condemned, and the law of God will be fulfilled in their punishment. The third point this morning is the relationship of the Christian to the law. What is the relationship of the Christian to God's law? The Christian is no longer under the law as a covenant of life in which God requires perfect obedience in order to be right before Him. Galatians chapter 3 clearly explains this. Our salvation does not depend upon keeping God's law. Jesus has delivered us from the curse of the law. Jesus has saved us so that we submit to God's law as the rule of our life. God's law is not opposed to grace. God gave the law to Moses to show us that we cannot justify ourselves before God. It's impossible. The law is a tutor. It's a guardian. It's a schoolmaster. It's a teacher to bring us to Christ, to show us our need of God's grace. The law of God teaches us the true character of God, the true character of His righteousness. God's law shows us the exceeding sinfulness of sin. God's law teaches and is part of the gospel. God's law is full of grace. It leads us to Christ. And it's wrong to think that grace has nothing to do with law. That is misusing the doctrine of grace in order to live a sinful or a lazy spiritual life. That is a wrong and false view of grace. One purpose of grace is to enable us to keep the law. So often we have a wrong view of holiness and sanctification. The Bible says that God gives to His people a new mind and a new heart and a new will that leads them to love the law and to desire to keep it. And the power and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of Christ enable us to fulfill the law. And so Paul tells Titus in chapter 2, verse 14, that Jesus Christ gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Do not go away from this service this morning thinking that you are so good and that you have kept the law of God perfectly. Do not go away from this service this morning thinking that you are condemned if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and righteousness. But rather rejoice in your Savior. Rejoice that He kept the law for you. Rejoice that He forgives your sins. Every one of them. Even the ones that you will still commit. And rejoice that He makes you a child of God who delights in the law of God after the inward man as Jesus Christ did, who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, and who longs to be holy, not in the sense of having a wonderful feeling or a wonderful experience, but who longs to live like Christ and be like Him in every respect. Christ is our hope. Christ is our life. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our salvation. Christ is our sanctification. We have nothing without Him. He did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill it. Praise the Lord.